Last week, Chris introduced our new series entitled The Church That Turned the World Upside Down, which we begin today by looking at the partnership of Priscilla and Aquila, the roles that they played in the early church, the characteristics that helped them to be fruitful, and the things that we can learn from their ministry and apply today as we also endeavor to turn the world upside down with the good news of God. Priscilla and Aquila were a married missionary couple, described in the New Testament as providing a presence at various times in the cities of Corinth and Ephesus and Rome that strengthened the early Christian churches. They are mentioned 6 times in all in the New Testament, in Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Timothy. They are always mentioned together, never one without the other. Paul was generous in his recognition and acknowledgement of his indebtedness to them, crediting them with risking their necks for him, and speaking of them with a real warmth and a depth of affection that is a testimony, all in all, to probably 20 years of friendship and shared experience. The couple are first mentioned in Acts 18, which Nick read for us earlier. Paul is on the second of his long missionary road trips and, moving on from Athens, arrives in the merchant city of Corinth. There he meets Aquila, a Jew, from Pontus, which is on the southern coast of the Black Sea. While Aquila is specifically described as a Jew, his wife Priscilla is not. And this leaves the door open for a couple of possibilities. She may actually also have been Jewish by birth, although her name is commonly a Roman name. She might have been a Gentile convert to Judaism, perhaps when she married Aquila, or a Gentile convert directly to Christianity. Their journey to faith in Jesus also throws up some interesting possibilities. My favorite, and wouldn't it be wonderful if this were actually the case, is that Aquila, or possibly both Aquila and Priscilla together, were among the visitors in Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of the Harvest in AD 30. That is, they were present at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 describes the Pentecost crowd as including people from Pontus, as well as visitors from Rome, Jews, and converts to Judaism. And when Paul meets the couple in Corinth several years later, they had previously been living in Rome. So it's possible that they might have fitted into either of those categories at Pentecost, Jews or converts from Pontus or from Rome. Other possibilities are that they came to faith through the preaching of Peter on his missionary trips, either in Pontus on his first journey or in Rome on his second. It is even possible, if Aquila was a Jewish boy and Priscilla a Gentile girl, that they met at church, perhaps even introduced to each other by Peter. Such interesting possibilities, but we can't say for sure. What we do know, when we meet them first in Acts, is that they are married and have recently moved from Rome to Corinth because the Emperor Claudius had ordered all Jews, and it seemed that that included Messianic Jews, to leave Rome because of disturbances and unrest attributed to them. There in Corinth, they set up in their trade of tent making. This would probably have involved linen work, producing mostly tarpaulins and awnings for theatres and homes, the forum, and even sails for ships. And this was the same trade as Paul practiced. And it's possible that he met them through their common occupation when he arrived in Corinth. A deep and lasting friendship was born. Paul lived and worked with the couple for 18 months in Corinth, the working days spent in the shop at the marketplace, the Sabbath spent in the synagogue, debating and presenting the good news of Jesus, evenings and mealtimes and leisure time together spent in their home, in conversation and ministry to each other. Here I'd like to pause and consider some of the cluster of characteristics I believe helped Priscilla and Aquila to be effective in turning the world upside down. Firstly, it is clear that they lived integrated lives. There was a unity in purpose, in serving God in their work, in their synagogue activities, with their time and resources, in their home and social life. They were all in, 100% committed, holding nothing apart. They were generous and hospitable, willing to open their home to Paul and have him stay with them for 18 months. Not always an easy or comfortable arrangement, I'm sure, but one which must have brought so much blessing and opportunities to learn and grow. In doing so, they supported him in what could have been a very lonely task, teaching and discipling Jews first and then later Gentiles, presenting the arguments for faith in Jesus, explaining the power of the Spirit, and bringing about the conversion of many in the city. It's likely that Paul stayed as long as he did in Corinth and was therefore able to have the impact that he did there simply because of the home base he found and friendship he experienced through Priscilla and Aquila. They had a flexibility and an eye out for the opportunities of God. They had, in all likelihood, had an established home and stable business back in Rome, and yet adversity there had forced them to leave and start afresh in a new city, which they did wholeheartedly and with eagerness for the kingdom to advance. In fact, it seems likely that they did this more than once. After the death of Claudius, they returned to Rome, and there they hosted a church in their home. And it seems probable that this home was destroyed in Nero's great fire. And once again, they moved, this time returning to Ephesus. They were not afraid of change, of seeing the opportunities in new places, of forging new friendships and being strategic and fruitful and intentional where God placed them. They loved people and began conversations and built relationships wherever they went. It is an interesting aside that of the six mentions in the New Testament of Priscilla and Aquila, he is mentioned first only twice, and once is when they meet Paul in Ephesus through their mutual occupation of tent making, which possibly explains that Paul met Aquila first. In all the other instances, they are Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla being named first, which some take may indicate Priscilla's status as an equal alongside her husband, or even possibly that Priscilla was thought of as the more prominent teacher and disciple. The early church was radical in the place and ministry it had for women, for them to exercise their gifts. In fact, the early church was countercultural in many ways, in a highly stratified society with a very distinct class structure. Communities formed by the followers of the way broke down the stereotypes of gender and class status and wealth and ethnic origin. It's possible that as a mixed marriage couple, Priscilla and Aquila understood these dynamics well. After a year and a half in Corinth, Paul decided to begin his return to Jerusalem. He went from Corinth to Ephesus, a city on the west coast of Asia Minor and another major trading center. And Priscilla and Aquila went with him. When Paul moved on eastwards, he left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus to continue the work, promising that he would come back to Ephesus after his return to Jerusalem. The couple established a church that met in their home, and it was here in Ephesus that they met Apollos. He was a Jewish preacher from Alexandria, and they heard him speaking in the synagogue one Sabbath. He was well versed in the scriptures. However, they soon realized that he knew, as it's described in Acts, only the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. He knew and taught about the life of Jesus, but he did not know about Pentecost and the baptism of the Spirit. After they had heard him speaking in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila invited Apollos back to their home and explained the rest of the story of Jesus to him. They were quick to recognize his giftings, to share their wisdom with him, to teach and mentor and guide him. Apollos went on to become a significant evangelist with a wide-ranging ministry of teaching, one which some of the Corinthians are recorded to place on a level with that of Peter and Paul, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1:12. When Apollos moved on from Ephesus to Achaia, he went with encouragement and a letter of introduction from the Ephesian Christians. And Acts tells us that he was a great help to those in Achaia who believed. Priscilla and Aquila's friendship and teaching were key in all of this. Paul did in fact return, as promised, to Ephesus on his third missionary road trip and again lodged with Priscilla and Aquila. While there in Ephesus, Paul began plans for a trip to Rome, an idea perhaps planted and encouraged by the couple who knew Rome and the needs of the church and the people there. They moved from Ephesus back to Rome several years in advance of Paul's eventual arrival there, and again were quick to gather a church to meet in their home where they could pray together, share fellowship, and teach. The last time in the New Testament we hear mention of Priscilla and Aquila, they are back in Ephesus, having fled the persecution of Nero's Rome. Paul, knowing his work is done and his life is nearly at an end, writes one last letter from prison in Rome to Timothy in Ephesus, including in that letter greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, his dear friends, supporters, and co-workers of some 20 years. In many ways, all Priscilla and Aquila did was live their lives. They loved and stood by each other. They worked hard to run a family business. They were skilled in a trade. They paid rent on a shop in the marketplace. They survived day to day in a political system which wasn't always on their side. They rolled with the punches. They faced adversity and injustice. They lost it all and started again. But what made them significant was that they saw the providence of God in each new place, in each new friend, in each new opportunity. They were always mission-minded, even when they weren't traveling, ready to share the story of Jesus, eyes open to spot the person who needed to hear. All they had and all they were was at God's disposal. They lived with an open-heartedness, open-handedness, open-mindedness that turned the world upside down. There's a lot we can learn from them today.